We've got a few things that we wanted to share together this morning. Some of you will know that last weekend, a gang of us were at the with the One event. Some measure of excitement for the One event. There was, I think, altogether was over 120 of us at different times over the weekend. We had a fantastic time. There was some great stuff going on over the course of the weekend. And one of the things that, of course, we always love to do is share some of the stories. Those of you who've not been around or not been part of One event. That's your photo, James. Those of you who've not been around One event, basically it's a gathering of, I don't know the numbers, but thousands, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 people meeting together across the generations, kids and young people. It's a great time actually of faith and teaching and learning, but also great opportunity to be together, share food, share showers, not literally, but there are showers, aren't there, James? And we had a great time. And of course, one of the things about it's an opportunity for us to spend a prolonged period of time in God's presence, allowing God to speak to us. That's one of the great things. And we want to share some of those stories. And James beckoned me over across the field, said, "Matt, I've got something I'd like to tell you about." And he described to me how some of the things that God had done with him over the weekend. And he said, "You know, I know that often we give space for stories." And James said, "I've got one of those stories." So you volunteered, didn't you, James? Basically, there's no press ganging, was there? You said, "Matt, I'm there." So James is going to share with us a bit of his story this morning. So you're not nervous at all, are you, James? No. So why don't we just welcome James?
Well, if you see me pausing and going back to my notes, then tough. So for those that don't know me, I'm 29 years old. I work at King's Mill. Yeah, that's enough about that. but for many years, I've been struggling with obesity issues. Obviously, you can see I'm a big guy. I can't even read my own writing. For years I've tried diets and none of them's ever worked. My addiction always got the better of me. About 5 months ago, I was getting to a point where I was getting desperate. I was struggling to walk. I was struggling with a lot of everyday life. Part of me was like, yeah, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed it a lot because I enjoyed my eating, and there was part of me that didn't want to stop. But there was another part of me as well that was like, I can't do this anymore. And I wasn't walking with God either. I was very depressed, very stressed. And like most addictions, something that you crave is normally something that really makes it easier. So there I was. I prayed, as you do, and I prayed that, you know, God would give me something, because I felt as though I was getting to that point of no return. I was actually facing losing my job at the time as well, and that's jobs, as everyone knows, basically what keeps you going. About a week later, a friend of mine from work said that she ran a fit group, and she asked me to join. At first I was like, no, I'll do it myself because I know I can. And so for I think it was about 2 weeks, I was laughing it off and joking with her, because I was like, there was still part of me that was still comfortable with that lifestyle. I enjoyed it. It was one of those things I didn't want to break. But also at the same time, I heard God saying to me, you know, just trust me on this one. Go for it. Just see what happens. And I thought, well, apart from my life, what have I got to lose? It's... Sorry, folks. No, I can read it from here. It's still small. No lifting up is going to work. I said yes, and a few days later, my friend said that she's on this product range called from Herbalife. And Herbalife, for folks that don't know, is a company that provides products for weight loss, healthy weight gain, and also skin range. And it's very effective. It does cost a bit, but she came up to me and she gave me a list of prices and what it cost me for a month. And it was probably in excess of £100 a month. And I'm like, there's no way I can afford that. There's just no way. But again, I was like, I've got to trust God on this one. I've really got to trust God on this one because I believe that he will provide for me if I trust in him. But it won't, in my opinion, it's just something that wouldn't happen unless I trusted and just went for it. So I decided I'd give it a go. Almost immediately, a few days on, I started to notice changes that were happening. It wasn't until the one event, as I'll explain later, that it kind of confirmed everything. A few days later, I was told that because I'm taking the products, that I'd be getting her and her husband as trainers, as a freebie, personal trainers. And I felt really glad about that because how I was going, I needed day-to-day help, basically. Five months on, and I feel like I'm a different man. I feel energized, and I said on Wednesday I feel like the Duracell bunny. If anyone needs prayer after that, then you're more than welcome for that image. This is probably the best I've ever felt as well, and not just physically but also spiritually. Everything that I feel that God has been telling me over the last 5 months is starting to really fit into place. Several years ago I felt God telling me that I should be working with young people with obesity issues, because I was a young person with obesity issues. I know how it affects young people, and I know how much of an effect it can have later on in life. I've been there. Basically, through prayer, God taught me to discipline myself. This time I took God's hand and just let him pull me in. I've not done that for a long, long time. I've just let him pull me in because it's... I was at a point where I didn't want to be there. Tony Miller at One, he said that God will send someone to help when you feel unreachable. And I really felt that true when my trainers, now trainers, offered me their services, basically. I looked at that, and when Tony Miller said that, I was just like, wow. It's... It's kind of happened. Everything happens for a reason. Jeff Lucas also said, don't be afraid of your history. And at that time, I felt that God telling me not just to be afraid of my history, but to embrace it. Basically, God made you who you are because of your past. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm really enjoying it. It's not a chore anymore, and most people, dieting is a chore. It's something you've got to work hard at. I work hard at it, but I'm really enjoying it. So, and that's important for me because it's not something that I find boring anymore. I really felt that at the end of it, especially this weekend, it was, God saying, I told you so, and it told you it was going to happen, and I'm forever grateful and thankful. It's ironic because our group slogan for the fit group is exactly what God's been saying to me already, and for things to change, you have to change.
Well, isn't that a great story? And just a great reminder that the God that we serve is interested in every detail of our lives. And also, I don't know if you noticed, but James refers to different points in his story where he says, God was on my case, or, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. And I don't know about you, but I want to remind us today that that's the same for all of us, wherever we're at, whatever we're up to, that God's got his eye on us in a positive way, not his beady eye on us looking to trip us up or to do us harm, but actually to do us a lot of good. And if there are other stories knocking about, then please do let us know, because we obviously want to share them. I just want to talk for a few minutes this morning and just draw together a few things that I believe that God is speaking to us. And then I want to allow some space for us to respond together as church at the end. Is everyone okay with that? Let's do it then. There's a couple of things that we've been... If you ask me what are the things that God has been speaking to us about this year... then very clearly for me there's a number, of course, but two of the key things that keep coming back over and over again is that 2015 for us as church is a year of strengthening, and then latterly we've often found ourselves in all kinds of different settings talking about aligning in different ways, choosing to align ourselves to the plans, purposes, ways of thinking of God. Now, I guess although that's what we've been thinking about, we probably should flip it round, because actually the truth is that if we align ourselves, then often that's when the strengthening comes. And I believe that as church we're on this journey, we're making some of these steps so that we align ourselves so that we can therefore be strengthened by God. Is there anyone else who would like to do that? And over the summer, those of you who've been around... over the summer, we looked together as church at the book of Colossians in the New Testament, and a number of people shared with us and spoke into our Sunday morning meetings some really helpful stuff. And I don't know if you noticed, I guess I'm sensitive to it now, and I these things jump out to me, but as we go through Colossians, there was references there to strengthening as well. In Colossians 1, it says this: "We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy." And then in chapter 2, which was the second week that we looked at together, it says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." And actually, I guess those of you who've had eye tests would recognize this symbol. I think this is the one where they ask you if the red and the green light are aligned. I think that's right. Does everyone else remember having your eyes tested? Can everyone see that? Okay. and actually, the whole concept of things being aligned. Oh, and yeah, that's right. It talks about we're looking through the cross. Yeah, is it aligned through the cross? Something clever in that, isn't there? Yeah, I thought of that the other day. Perhaps too clever. But the truth is that if we want to align ourselves, then a lot of it is to do with actually what we can see. I've been thinking for a while now, we'll move on to another Colossians passage in a moment. But one of the things that has really hit me in 2015, and I guess before that as well, is that we exist as human beings. We exist in different realms, don't we? And some of those realms we see very clearly, and some of them we don't. Owen and Rachel, Jono and Amy have just moved into the marriage realm. An exciting time. But the marriage realm, of course, is part of what we call the physical realm. So it's the stuff around us. It's the place where we breathe, all the things that we smell, see, touch, hear, and taste. And of course, the physical realm that we operate in, there's lots of things that are very good about it. There's obviously lots of things that are not so good about it as well. And we're aware of some of those. So that's the physical realm. The other is the spiritual realm. And you know that as human beings, we operate in both of those realms, don't we? So we find ourselves in the physical realm, but also we know that we are spiritual beings as well. How many people feel like a spiritual being this morning? Well, that's the truth, is that we are spiritual beings, and it's not to do with what we feel like, so it's perhaps a trick question. And the truth is that the only way you can see the spiritual realm is through the eyes of faith. And our problem, I guess you'd agree, is that a lot of the time, most of what we see around us are the things that are physical. They're the things that are in front of us. They're the things that we do touch. They're the circumstances. They're the situations that we find ourselves in. And that those things are in front of us on a daily basis, aren't they? Those are the things that will be right in our faces on Monday morning. They'll be the things that we'll do throughout the day. They're right in front of us. But the kingdom of God exists in the spiritual realm. And it's in the process. We know that the kingdom of God is here now, but it's coming. And also it's going to grow within us. And it's going to be something that is on its way as well. It's that strange thing where the kingdom of God is here now, but it's coming. And one of the things that I think is really important that we recognize and understand is how we operate, not just in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm as well. Colossians 3 says this: since, and of course, you straight away recognize that there's a cause and effect. So, since you've been raised to new life, and how many people this morning have been raised to new life? So this is talking about us. If you've been raised to new life, and this is talking about me, this is talking about you. Since we have been raised to new life, set your sights, or you could say align yourself, couldn't you, on the realities of heaven, or in other words, the realm of the Spirit, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life, or you could say our spiritual lives, is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. And then it goes on to say a bit further, it says, so put to death the sinful earthly things. It says, don't be greedy. It says, get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, dirty language, don't lie, other things as well that says just clear up in our lives. Then verse 12, this cause and effect thing again, says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with these things: tender-hearted, mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, patience, make allowance for each other's faults, forgive anyone who offends you, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds all things together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. And it's this concept, this thought of, this is one of those things that jumped out at me as we were reading Colossians 3. The realities of heaven. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of this earth. I don't know about you, but I need plenty of reminders to make sure that my focus is on the realities of heaven. We've already mentioned the One event last weekend, and those of you who were there, we encountered the realities of camping, of course, didn't we? And I know camping isn't everyone's favourite. Generally, I don't mind camping, but sleeping on the floor, walking through the field in wellies, through a muddy field in the rain, to stand beneath a cold shower. I'm painting a good picture, aren't I? Those of you who don't come next year, this could be... And don't worry, there are warm showers, you just have to know where to go to find them. But, of course, that's the camping reality. But the reason I'm willing to not endure, I do enjoy it, you get the point. The reason I'm willing to endure the realities of camping is because I know there's a far greater reality. I get to be with a great bunch of people. High five. I get to listen to some great teachers, often from who've travelled a long way. I get to stand in God's presence, not just once, but quite a few times over the course of the weekend. And so I get to experience some of the realities of heaven, and I'm happy to experience the realities of camping in order to get there. And in my Bible reading this morning, I read something out of Psalm 59, which fits really well. It's not up there, Rachel, because this was done before my Bible reading this morning, or most of it was. But Psalm 59 says this: my enemies, this is what the psalmist says, my enemies come out at night, snarling like vicious dogs as they prowl the streets. They scavenge for food but go to sleep unsatisfied. But as for me, I will sing about your power. Each morning I will sing with joy about your unfailing love. For you have been my refuge, a place of safety when I'm in distress. O my strength, to you I sing praises, for you, O God, are my refuge, the God who shows me unfailing love. And the writer of this psalm has a choice, doesn't he? We don't know all the details, but the bit I just started talked about the enemies that are like snarling vicious dogs. But the psalmist says, but I'm not thinking about them. I will sing about, or choose to think about, your power, God. I will focus on your unfailing love. You've been my refuge when I'm in trouble before. And the reality that I'm going to choose now is to put my attention, to put my focus, to set my sights on the realities of heaven, to talk about God as my refuge, to talk about him with his unfailing love. We sung about it this morning. And to choose to sing praises. It's almost like the psalmist says, this is my enemies, but I'm going to choose to look at something different. And I don't know about you, but if I'm faced with the snarling dogs, they pretty much take up a lot of my focus. Is that right? And of course, just pretending, closing your eyes and pretending that we don't have enemies, that's not faith. That's stupid. But actually, if we choose to look at the things that are the realities of heaven, not the realities of earth, then we fix our eyes on something different. You see, faith, our faith, sees beyond our current circumstances to a higher reality. That's a good tweet. And often, we see a problem, whereas faith focuses us on the promises of God. And that's why this morning we've sung statements of faith, haven't we? We've declared that we believe in God the Father. We believe in the crucifixion. These are the realities of heaven. That's why we sing these songs, isn't it? We're declaring truths that are actually higher realities than often our individual or even our corporate circumstances. So I don't know what situations you get to face this week, but I want to encourage you to see beyond your circumstances, whether they're good or bad, and believe the promises of God that he's spoken over your life, perhaps personally or corporately. There's so many. If you say, I don't know what God's promises are for my life, well, I'm sure you can find someone who can help you find the ones in the Bible. The psalmist says, in the morning, I'll start the day with singing. how many people know that either singing in the morning is a great way to start the day or a very annoying way to start the day? In our house, we have both points of view. But very quickly, the annoying turns to something more positive. So if you're making notes, then singing in the morning, let's do that together. Well, not together. Because if we're focused on the realities of heaven, some of the truths that I am no longer a slave to fear, I'm a child of God. We may be sat here this morning in the Ashwood Centre, but the Bible tells me that spiritually I'm seated in Christ in heavenly places. That bodes pretty well. The truth is that God has plans to prosper me and to do me good. The truth is that all things, the Bible tells us, work together for good for those who love the Lord. And this is one of the best. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Let's fix our eyes on these things. On holiday, Joel and I were waiting for a lift. It was a up and down lift, not a taxi lift. And we'd been waiting for a while, and the lift hadn't come. And as we were waiting, we were in a shopping mall kind of thing, and I spotted a sign in the window, and I said, "Oh, Joel, hang on a minute, I just need to take a photo." Because this sign said this. I don't know if you can read it. Oh yeah, you can, it's good. So, I think Joel's words were, "Yes, Father, let's stop and take a picture of this." It doesn't matter if we miss the lift. But that was something like that. But the reason that it grabbed my attention was because it reminded me of a phrase that we started this year. It's the words of a song, an old, old song. You have to be old to remember it. That's my definition of old today. But the phrase was this, and some of you will remember it, some of us have got it on our fridge. I want to give my life to something that will last forever. The sale in this shop clearly is not something that would last forever. And I love that little phrase, trying to encourage people to get a move on. But in September, I don't know about you, but there's still a burning desire within me that I want to give my life to something that will last forever. So now I'm saying I still want to give my life to something that will last forever. And that's why keeping my eyes fixed on the things of heaven changes my priorities. Does it to you? Because actually I'm so grateful for people who see some of the realities of heaven and then choose to allow that to influence their decisions. I was thinking, as I was preparing for this morning, I'm so grateful that people who've seen something of the realities of heaven want to teach our kids, that want to work with young people, that want to bring food to food bank, that want to visit people, that want to care for people, who want to do some practical stuff within church. You know, some of the practical things that we talked about when we looked at how we can serve, these things actually contribute, don't they, to the bigger picture of how we can give our lives to something that will last forever. It's, of course, why we're pursuing a new home for Ashwood. It's not because we like the idea of a great big project that can absorb big chunks of our time and effort. In fact, that's maybe the reason for not doing it, I think. But actually, the reason that we want to explore that and we're on a journey, we're on a mission towards it, it's going to require faith. It's going to require us looking beyond what we can see right now. But it's because we believe that actually God has called us to something that is bigger and greater than we are at the moment. And if we're going to become that thing that God has called us to be, then it's going to require bigger space, bigger finances, more people involved. Because ultimately we want to help more and more people. This is what it's all about, find and follow Jesus, don't we?